Hello and welcome back to the Millennial Ag Podcast, where agriculture is always on tap and no topic is off limits. Thanks for joining us today, your co-hosts, Valene Cawhorn and Catherine Lotsbeach.
Listeners, welcome back to this week's episode. We are talking poultry this week, which is kind of a different animal to what we're usually talking about. Catherine lives in dairy and I live in beef, and so our topics tend to be heavy in that realm, but got one of my brother's really good friends, past roommates, fraternity brothers on today to talk about a new program he's been working on, the poultry risk management. So to get us started, first off, Dustin, thank you so much for joining us. And if you'd give listeners a brief background about who you are.
Yeah, of course, Valene. Thanks so much for having me on. Longtime listener of the podcast. So excited to finally jump in here. But it's funny that you mentioned the backgrounds of yourself and your colleague. My background is really in dairy and beef as well. And so it's been an interesting adventure to see the company I work for, StoneX, get more into the poultry side of things from a commodity risk management perspective, particularly in eggs being where we're finding the most value and the easiest path to offering some sort of risk management. But in the past, it was done all via what we would call a synthetic, or making up as close to a correlated possible contract as you could. So it's great to see us launching some new ideas and having some new conversations.
I'm excited. We've been talking a lot about bird flu, specifically in the cattle industry, but I have a feeling that might come up in conversation today. But maybe to get us started, where did risk management begin for the poultry industry? And maybe we can compare it to where the beef and dairy industry is in risk management too.
Yeah. I mean, just in case your listeners aren't aware, I'd love to start with just generally what is risk management when we're talking about this. And the easiest way I found to explain it is you've got insurance on your car. Why wouldn't you insure the prices for your budget? So it's essentially, we use different tools, much like those familiar with trading a stock on Amazon or Nike. We use similar tools to provide insurance on prices in the agricultural space. And long, long time ago, when the Chicago Mercantile Exchange had all these farmers come in to sell their products, they started futures to provide some transparency on price and allow people to use these products. Now, today, there's still no future, or other people might be familiar with options, in the poultry space. And we see this in a fair amount of other sectors as well. Potatoes is another one very specific to Idaho, where there used to be a futures contract and there hasn't been. And the reason for that is mostly twofold. One, a very concentrated industry. So when you have a small amount of either buyers or sellers of a product, then it's really hard to launch a futures contract because there's limited ability for price transparency. In grain, dairy, and beef, we've got a ton of farmers out there, right? But in poultry, there's only a handful of poultry producers. And so that led to a very long and hard road to having a specific contract, not to mention the life cycle of the product itself.
What is a typical lifespan of the product? And are you focusing primarily on the egg sector? Are you dabbling any of the broilers and, you know, turkeys as well?
We did not touch any part of the animal here. So much like in milk, we're trading the actual product that comes out of the cow. We're doing just that with eggs here for the first product that we're launching. So we have what's called an OTC contract, or over the counter, which acts just the same as a futures contract, but the exchange isn't listing anything. StoneX itself is acting as the exchange in this way, and allowing folks to trade the price of eggs based off of an index, used to be formerly known as Urner Barry, but they were just acquired by a different firm. And I apologize off the top of my head. I am blanking on the name. It'll come to me in a second here, but it's been a long Monday.
Or it'll come to you tonight at 10 o'clock when you go to bed. And you're like, yeah, I should have said.
That'll probably be it. But so what that means is, as they track the price of eggs from a whole bunch of different folks, and then they list that price weekly, and we're able to then It's called settle the contract to that price.
So how far in advance are you looking at getting those contracts set up? Because like for beef, and specifically maybe on the livestock risk protection side of things, we're looking at our cattle selling October, November, December, and we're sitting here in May. Where's your time frame on those future contracts for eggs?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, right? You gotta know what you're getting yourself into. The hard thing with launching a new contract like this, so this is, maybe it'll provide some clarity. This has never been done, to my knowledge, in the industry. There's been no poultry or egg contract out there in existence. So this is brand new. When you launch a brand new contract like this, it takes a lot of time to build up a forward curve. So realistically, for the beginning periods of this egg contract, it'll only be a couple of months out that you can trade this. But even having that price transparency in the sake of something like the egg prices we just went through over the last couple of months, right, provides a lot better confidence to folks utilizing this contract. And I will say it's not for everyone. We're talking 1,000 cases, and these cases are 30 dozen a case. So the contract is quite a bit of eggs. We're talking pretty big players that would be in this. But for the time being, I expect that we'll probably only be able to get trades or liquidity out through 3 to 4 months.
So what is it, I guess, maybe to paint a picture of what prices look like for the next 3 to 4 months for eggs? Because I know, at least in the grocery store, we're seeing prices, they're coming down. Like I bought 5 dozen the other day from Costco, finally, you know, at like $25. Mm-hmm. It was still like, holy Toledo, but it was manageable and they were actually selling them. But we're still at $6, $7 a dozen, depending on where you're at right now. So,
yeah. And typically we're used to seeing those go, depending on where you are in the US. I mean, you're used to seeing a dozen go for $2.50 or $3, right? So it's definitely a factor that we need to consider. And I would say we're seeing increased volatility across all of our agricultural markets. And the same that can be said for eggs and what I see going forward. Again, like I mentioned at the beginning, I would not say I am an expert in this space by any means. We've got two folks out of our Indiana office that really are the backbone of creating and running this contract for us, but I speak to them pretty regularly. And from my understanding, it sounds like we should see prices potentially move down a little bit further, but they don't think anything in terms of big relief or back to quote unquote normal, if you will, for a while. We saw bird flu hit the dairy industry, and my understanding is that's been a talked about topic here pretty hard, but it was tenfold on the poultry industry. And we saw numbers of layers and broilers and everything get hit real bad. So there's still a big inventory issue, not to mention logistics on top of everything else.
At Peacock Technology, we're transforming dairy farming with robotics and AI.
Our pre-brush and post-spray robots work on rotary milking parlors to ensure consistent udder hygiene, alleviating labor shortages, and maintaining high standards year-round.
Our advanced vision system and online platform integrates data from wearables and body condition scores, giving farmers a complete view of each cow's health and performance, saving time and cost while boosting efficiency and profitability.
Peacock Technology, empowering better decisions for your herd's well-being and productivity. Visit peacocktechnology.com to learn more.
When bird flu hits the dairy cows, you're not having a mortality issue. You know, it transfers and houses. They have, like, one of the things I've noticed within the poultry industry is everything's now enclosed, right? Or the commercial production's all enclosed. Mm-hmm. And so it is to protect against biosecurity. But then when that biosecurity wall breaks, it can be detrimental to a facility and knock out houses at a layer facility pretty quickly.
Yeah, we might have some more swine operation closer to home for the folks in the Northwest. And it's very similar to that, mostly enclosed large production facilities because of that biocontaminant issue. And when you get hit, you pretty much can figure the whole 100% of that building's going down.
And the saving grace or the detriment too is the lifespan of a chicken's, what, 6 months to a year? If you know, like, that's the whole
Yeah, it's much shorter, right? Your incubation period is shorter, your growing period is shorter. And that's another reason that we've never had a whole lot of ability to manage price in the poultry industry. For a lot of folks, the previous mechanism is just being using corn as a hedge. So by locking in the price of corn, that is the last number I saw was like 80% of the exposure to a chicken if you're hedging broilers. And that's not so much the case when you have a huge factor like bird flu come in. Your correlation just goes out the window because, yeah, corn is an input, but it's an output-based pricing mechanism. So same thing here in the egg space. Fortunately, you're able to rebuild herds a lot faster, or flocks, I guess I should say. But when you're using what we call a synthetic, so like using corn to hedge these animals, doesn't help you with where those positions are at.
Well, and you can have feed delivered on site for a certain price, but if you don't have anything to feed.
Oh, yeah. Then you're taking the hit there, too.
It's just an interesting dynamic compared to, and I mean, that applies to the beef and dairy segment, too, right? Because if you can lock in your corn and you can lock in your input costs, but if your output, there's a snag on the output side, you're in the same boat, but it's an interesting animal. And yeah, just something you don't see out on the landscape day to day either. You know, you see your beef cows, you see your dairy cows, you see, you know, the other large animals, but poultry is kind of the underlying production livestock that I think gets forgotten about in these conversations.
I think it can, most definitely. And the really nice thing is there's two different types of delivery when we talk about risk management, physical or cash. Most of the grain listeners or even some beef folks would understand physical delivery. This is not, and thank goodness for it, because I don't know that it would even be possible in the poultry or egg space, but it's all cash settled. So even if something were to happen to a supply with this bird flu situation, the nice thing is you could potentially say, well, here's the contract we agreed to. We'll back up this inventory and get it to you. But in the meantime, here's that value if you were managing price in that way. And so with it being cash settled, it gives you a little bit more flexibility and you're not solely dedicated to providing inventory on a specific time period.
For people not familiar with contracting and hedging, walk us through, if I'm an egg producer and I called you today, how do I get signed up or how do I go about protecting my risk through hedging and so forth?
Yeah. So StoneX, the really great thing about us is we're a non-bank FCM. And what that means is we can work directly with the exchange, or in the case of like this egg contract I mentioned, we can act as an exchange and provide OTC products. With that ability, it gives us a lot of opportunity and tools for our clients. And all we need is somebody to call us up and say they want to start an account, which is $0 to do. And we go through, walk through their financials with them, see what industries they're exposed to, because we work within every cash or financially traded industry. So grains, dairy, beef, metals, and interest rates too. So a lot of different products that StoneX is working with. But once we have that call and conversation, we go through what's the risk appetite for you? What kind of things are you hoping to do? How do you want to go about managing your hedges? What time frame are you looking at? And get a real understanding of a person's operation, because then that helps us as risk managers to best serve those clients that we're working with. And so the nice thing is with being able to open those accounts at $0, you can really get a toe wet, so to speak, before you dive fully in, start to hedge in very small amounts before you really open up the doors and say, let's hedge the whole farm's production or something. And then every contract is different. So for the case of eggs I mentioned, it's 1,000 cases at 30 dozen a case. So you're talking 30,000 dozen at that point for one contract, which seems like a lot probably to us going buying Costco at 5 dozen a piece. But for these huge egg layers, that's could be a week. It could be less than a week. So
well, and a lot of those houses just for scale or those facilities have got millions of birds there. And so they're, even if 70 or 80% lay one egg a day, think of how many eggs are going through that facility.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're talking 10, 12, 15 contracts a day, right? That you would need to be hedging. And so it's really interesting to have these conversations, and they're so different because, I mean, I've got a couple of dairy and beef guys that are doing 5 cows or the production on maybe 50 head for a dairy farm, all the way up to, we've got, like you just said, the poultry or the pork guys that have a huge facility and they're running 5, 10, 15, 50,000 animals.
That's ag in a nutshell right there, is that
yeah, right,
the exactly. breadth of those sizes and scales and different things too.
And that's great about these tools, is that they're able to serve, in many cases, they're able to serve every size and really provide that help and assistance. And I'm a true believer in risk management being a saving grace for the things of like COVID. It's just those events that you don't see coming that could really buckle you. And doing this consistently helps protect against that.
That leads me into another question. So why did you guys start offering, you know, risk protection for eggs? Like, what painted that picture in 2025 for you guys to say, hey, this is something we need to do?
We've actually been working on this contract now for 2+ years. It takes a long time to build what we would call our beginning book for something like this, because we have to have enough interest from both buyers and sellers to even start a contract. And so we saw during COVID, I'm not to the same extreme, but similar price fluxes. And that was really the kicker. And when we had a lot of folks started asking us about eggs, and it was really interesting. Eggs was the big one that came up, and across the spectrum of a lot of places you wouldn't think about. We had grocery stores, yes, the poultry producers and egg layers, yes, but also had folks like custard makers and people consuming these eggs in a large variety or other confectionery places that were bringing these questions. And so we said, hey, there's a lot of interest. Can we go find a way to build this? And then we have to go find a price to settle it against if the exchange is willing to list a contract. And typically now these OTC contracts is how an exchange sees that there's interest and begins to list something on the CME that we're familiar with seeing prices more frequently on. So like, I would really love to do one, at least for the Northwest folks. I think a hay one would be awesome, but that's my own little pet project that I'm trying to work on. But so yeah, it takes quite a while. And we started honestly around the COVID timeframe. And then now we're in a COVID for birds, I guess. And it's perfect timing.
I mean, it took you 2 years to get there, and it's a perfect time for it to launch too, right? There's a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace on a variety of different areas, not just disease right now.
Exactly. And then you had tariffs on top of it, and the ag industry is going nuts, and it's making my day to day real fun, let me tell you.
Sticking to eggs, but what are tariffs doing? Because eggs are a big export. What are tariffs and the threat of tariffs, right? I don't know if we can say that there's actually,
yeah,
there's tariffs in play, but they keep changing day to day. So the threat of them, what is that doing to the egg market right now?
Every 24 hours, it's a whole lot different. It's crazy. Our eggs, my understanding, for the most part, go mostly to the players in USMCA. So that'd be Canada and Mexico, unless they're being further processed. And that's a whole nother conversation. And you're getting to the point where this contract wouldn't be so useful, because once you are repurposing the eggs, then the price varies so much. So we'll stick with mostly Mexico and Canada. And outside of the previous situation that occurred, so we had a lot of stuff that would be shipped in from other places and then moved from Canada, Mexico into the US. And then we had some other just political reasons where we had tariffs come into play. Now that that has backed off a little bit, I think we're in a better place, honestly, for trade to move a little bit better. So under the USMCA, rule is anything that's produced or you can show enough of a change in a product in one of those countries, Mexico, the US, or Canada, then it doesn't come under the tariff implications. And so my understanding is that eggs are moving pretty fine right now. And most of the products that we're really seeing hit by it are either a waypoint for movement, or it's being stopped like cattle in Mexico because you've got disease. And so I think we're past that point. Eggs are tested and obviously not going to be hit with the same issues. So it's more an after the fact deal, and I think we're fine.
Well, that's good to hear too, because beef industry's a volatile beast right now with the disease threats and then the low number of cattle, which we can talk every week and it changes just a little bit too, but it's an interesting animal there too. So are you getting people asking about, you know, the broiler side of things too, or is it just strictly eggs?
That's what our contract is on, is eggs. I did have a conversation with another fraternity. The great fraternity VGR pumps out a lot of ag guys. So another person I work with that is now an extension educator for the University of Idaho, he and I chat on the markets quite frequently. And he actually was talking with the Idaho House and Senate on the ag update back when they were in session. And we were chatting the broiler prices, and those numbers were crazy. I'm still seeing it show up in the grocery store. I got to imagine you probably are too, Valine, of chicken prices being a little bit higher than they used to. And I think this is likely to stay in play as well, similar to eggs, just because there's still bird flu on the mind. There's still bird flu infections taking place. And you can only do so much control of these animals. So we have low numbers. I don't know if we're quite to the level where the beef herd is now, but it took the poultry flock for a ride, and it'll be quicker to rebuild it. I'm seeing those start to pop up that we're in the process of rebuilding, but I think it'll be a little bit before we see that price even out.
Hi, I'm Tom Heron, founder of Ag Professionals. Agriculture is always innovating and evolving. And at Ag Professionals, we provide the expertise to help you stay ahead. From land use planning and environmental compliance, permitting to real estate, civil and environmental engineering, and land surveying, we offer one-stop solutions you need to grow and succeed. We're proud to support the Millennial Ag Podcast because we believe in the future of agriculture. Let's build that future together. Visit our website, agpros.com, to learn how we can help your operation thrive.
I don't buy much chicken in the grocery store, but that's a personal beef. But I do keep my eye open, because having a few chicken breasts is never a bad thing to be able to throw in the crock pot. And it's the price of pork and $2, $3, $4 a pound. You're like, no, I'll stick with my ground beef and my other proteins, just because it's
practically the same. It's crazy. The whole meat industry has been taken for a ride. And the nuts thing is, you would think that we're with these high prices, we'd see demand back down, and meat across the board, we've had record levels of consumption in 24 and 2023. So I think the demand is here to stay. U.S. consumer likes their protein, especially with the Ozempic and everything. We're seeing so much more demand for quality proteins. So I think that'll keep this egg conversation in play too. I mean, on the dairy side, we see it in whey. We're seeing it in eggs too. All of this protein stuff, especially on the lean or what you would call your cleaner proteins, is just on the top of mind for everyone right now.
I mean, social media just hits you with, you know, paleo, keto, all those things. And protein's the number one source on all of that. And I think it's very positive for the protein industries. We can have the debate of a nutritious diet another day, but it's good for the industry, and it's good to have those lean quality proteins available too. I think we have a higher quality product in the grocery stores than we've ever had, you know, across all the boards. I know beef is, you know, 3/4 choice nowadays, and seeing a lot more prime than they ever had.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, our ag producers, wherever you are, you're doing a heck of a job. So keep it up. I know you are one. So
it takes everybody doing a good job across the board. What other areas of risk do the poultry guys have to think about? We've talked about disease and input costs, but is there anything else that you can think of that those guys are managing on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think the other big player is energy. And it's probably a forgotten thing in much of our food supply chain. We may think about like the diesel going into a tractor, right? But you've got, I mean, you mentioned at the the beginning of our conversation here, most of these poultry operations are completely enclosed, and you've got to keep them temperature controlled for the birds. Incubating eggs has got to be really warm too for any time you're regrowing populations. So you're using a ton of electricity, potentially natural gas. You've got diesel in these trucks that are hauling these things. Then you've got every time that you're refrigerating, right? So once those eggs are laid and going into the cooled aisles or whatever in the grocery store, you're using a lot of energy there. So I couldn't believe the first time that I looked at some of the clients that we have on the energy space and being able to hedge both physical and financially products for them. But it was mind-opening for me to see just how much energy I don't even think about being consumed and is extremely necessary to keep the lights on throughout the whole supply chain to get stuff to our doors.
Was it down in Texas last year or 2 years ago during the summer months when the power completely went out in cities because they didn't have enough electricity? And to think what that would do to a refrigerator that has, you know, thousands of eggs, and why we have backup generators on some of those facilities too. But it's not something we think about until it happens.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. I mean, the last time somebody had a horrible storm and power went out, and so they were just hoping to keep the fridge closed or the freezer closed, right? But then on a scale with a million eggs in the warehouse, or 10 million, because they don't take up that much space. I mean, you've got a lot of product there that could go under. And so most of these places have insurance on the warehouse. But I mean, just the energy cost alone to keep these places operational are extremely high.
I would imagine too, in other places, Idaho is, I would say, is pretty fortunate that our energy prices stay relatively consistent, you know, from year to year. But I'm guessing that other places aren't as fortunate with that as well.
Yeah. And if we think about where primary egg production is, I mean, the Southeast holds the title there, and you've got so many natural disasters that could be hit, and needing a good source of energy being, or even cost being higher because of the threat of those. So having a way to manage that price risk is extremely important.
I appreciate you jumping on our podcast this week, and thanks for being a longtime listener. We appreciate everyone that tunes in, but especially those diehards that have listened to us yammer for 6 years now. Is there anything else you want to leave listeners with? You can plug StoneX, and then we'll sign off.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you having me. Hopefully I gave some good information. Like I said, I am no expert in the egg space by any means, but if you need help hedging commodities or you're just interested in talking price risk, StoneX is a good place to go. If you don't want to go to StoneX, don't like the name or, I mean, my voice because I have a face for radio, just look at commodity risk management. If you're an ag producer in the supply chain, it's extremely important, and I couldn't emphasize more that it's something that you should at least be aware of if not using.
I mean, COVID and all the natural disasters are a good example of what happens when you're at least expecting it.
Exactly. But Valene, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. And look forward to your further podcast in the future.
Awesome. Well, and Dustin also has a few articles throughout different publications too on dairy markets specifically. I think was the last one I saw in the Ag Proud magazine. But there's lots of good information out there that StoneX is putting on market trends too, even if you're not a customer. So take advantage of that and keep a pulse on where it is all going. And we thank you for tuning into this week's episode.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Millennial Ag Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and like, subscribe, and review to our podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email us at talktous@millennialag.com. Until next week, we are Millennial Ag.